This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for coming. Your waiter will be along shortly. Please be advised that the Ron Van Dam Show has been designated as a non-smoking area. Please watch your step while boarding the Ron Van Dam Show, as contents may have shifted during travel. In clinical studies, the Ron Van Dam Show has not been shown to reduce cholesterol in laboratory animals. Exits are located to the rear on the left and right sides of the auditorium. The sea bass is steamed and served with a white truffle risotto. Illinois residents add 5% sales tax. Shake before serving. If dizziness or swelling occur, stop using the Ron Van Dam Show immediately. Proper ID is required. No cover charge after 10 p.m. Moo. Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show may require you to lift objects weighing 15 pounds or more. Please remain seated until the Ron Van Dam Show comes to a complete stop.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Yes, it is. It is true.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Ooh, do I have a show for you today? I'm asking you, do I have a show for you today? Oh, I do. I have a great guest coming up later in the show. It's an extended interview. It's fascinating, man. It's what life is all about. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. That's coming up a little bit later. And then before that, there's me talking about stuff. What could be better? All right, there's a long list. Sex could be better. Eating junk food is bad for you, but could be better. That's about it. Sorry, I'm being rude. Before I start talking, you should go to the bathroom. You did? Okay, good. That's good. I have finger sandwiches. They are sandwiches shaped like fingers, which is always tasty. Jeffrey Dahmer, favorite food. There's little pieces of ham in it, cheese, toenails. You'll love them. Finger sandwiches. And then I have coleslaw, potato salad that's been sitting in the sun for 3 days. This is going to be good. Okay, that'll be enough. That will be... Okay, that's fine. That's enough. Well. So here we are again. Well. You did it again. You clicked on me again, didn't you? When will you ever learn? I don't think you will. You're a glutton for punishment, aren't you? But that's a fine thing when it comes to listening to this program. Hey, we want to... I'm laughing at nothing. You hear me? I'm laughing at nothing. That's called just like putting space in between thoughts. You just stop, you laugh a little bit as if something's funny to you, but it's not. And that makes it sound like there's a pause between what, but there's no pause. There's no pause. But I have a question for you. I was up all night last night pondering this. I have a question for you.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
Yesterday, I found a pair of shoes in my closet. I have like 4 pairs of shoes. I'm a guy. Let's not overdo it. 4 is even a lot. I have a pair of sneakers. I have a pair of what they call loafers, and I don't know what that means. I know what a meatloaf is. It has nothing to do with my shoes. I don't know what a loafer is. Somebody just like hangs out and smokes pot all day. I guess that's what my shoes are doing. I don't understand it. I have a pair of those, and I have a pair of dress shoes and a pair of slippers. That's freaking it. I mean, I don't know what else you would need. Ladies, you need like 100 pairs of shoes to match your whatever, your mood ring. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't know why women have such fascination with shoes. I've talked about this before. It's just, it's like, it's one of the biggest questions. Like, is there a God? Why do you have so many shoes? Those two things. Although the first part, most people don't question that. They just accept. And I must accept that women have 200 pairs of shoes. I don't know why. I never will. Why bother thinking about it? So I go into my closet. My loafers are falling apart. The soles are coming out. The very lifeblood and soul of my shoes are coming undone. Should I step in a puddle, my socks would get wet. You don't want that. You don't want that. There's no worse feeling in the world than getting your socks wet and then having to walk around in wet socks. It's stinky, it's smelly, it's uncomfortable. It's just awful. I didn't want to wear my dress shoes, and my sneakers looked really ratty. They look like a rat. If I walked down the street, people would stop me and say, you know, you have a rat on your feet? Nah, they're just my shoes. What about your loafers? Don't even go there. So I had another pair of shoes that I hadn't worn in a long time. I call them my fifth pair. I don't wear them because they have laces. All my other shoes have no laces. They have either you slip them on, which I love. I love the concept of just slipping a shoe on. That's what shoes should be. Then there's the Velcro, which I also happen to love, although people don't like me wearing Velcro. They always point it out. Like, what are you, an asshole? You're wearing Velcro. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, don't call me an asshole, because in space, some guy invented Velcro, and then astronauts wore Velcro in space, and that is special. That is freaking special. Never put Velcro down. Never call it a nerdy, stupid look. Velcro is amazing. It's one of the few inventions that I actually marvel at. It's so simple. It's a strap of material that sticks to itself. Holy crap. That's amazing. So I have Velcro sneakers and Velcro stuff. Nothing was working, so I had to grab shoe pair number 5. And now, shoe pair number 5. But they have laces. Laces, ladies and gentlemen. Laces. Yeah, laces. I can't do laces. I hate laces. They're laces. Can we move beyond laces? It's one of the few things in the world that never changed. I don't know when laces were invented. I guess right after sandals. I think Moses and Jesus both went through the desert wearing sandals and said, screw this, I'm buying a pair of shoes at DSW. I think they did. And then they bought these shoes that were laces so that you could tie the shoes to your feet in battle. Yeah, they were wearing sandals in battle way back, like in the Christ days. Wearing sandals in battle, how common that is. I mean, sandals in battle? You have to be really lazy. what are you going to wear to the Battle of Gettysburg? I'm thinking flip-flops. Flip-flops should be good. So they had shoes with laces, and it's a string. It's a string with little plastic ends on them. And you thread them through your shoes, and then you pull them tight, and they stay on your feet through battle. They're called laces. And I thought, okay, this can't go on forever because I hate laces. You have to bend over. I don't bend over well. I'm a tall man. I'm 6'3". for me to bend over, it's like a whole schematic. I don't think I've touched my toes since 1927. I'm not that old, by the way. That's an exaggeration. I can't bend over that far. Pilates? Seriously? No way. I can't do Pilates. I can't bend over. Touch my toes? What, are you serious? I remember in school, my high school gym teacher, whom I hated because he always smelled like rotten fruit and armpit stench and locker room towels. This man reeked. I mean, what a disgusting, disgusting smelling man. He was short, bald. He was always sweating. It was just awful. It's just awful. But he kept saying, "Van Damme, touch your toes." And I kept saying, "I can't. My toes are all the way down there, and I'm all the way up here." So go on, bend over, touch your toes. And he used to, like, push me on the back to make me bend more. That's sexual harassment. Then they had high school wrestling in gym class where I had to wrestle another guy and all I was wearing was gym shorts and a wife beater t-shirt. By the way, if anybody wears a t-shirt called a wife beater, there's going to be a problem socially. Who named that t-shirt a wife beater? Are you serious? That's a thing? Yes, that's the name of the article of clothing. It has no arms. Just a strap over your shoulders. It's called a wife beater. I can't believe that it was ever called that or that anybody would dare refer to it with that name. Oh, Lord. Holy crap. Anyway, I could never bend over, touch my toes. And my high school gym teacher was into wrestling, and they taught us all wrestling moves. And you would wrestle another boy who was also wearing shorts. And inevitably, during this high school wrestling match thing, somebody's head was going to be up somebody's ass of the same sexual persuasion. Now, I mean, if you're gay, fantastic. I guess it's a nice sport for you, but I'm not, and having another kid's head up my ass or putting my head up somebody else's ass and struggling is not really very appealing to me, especially when everybody's nice and sweaty. I was taught this in high school. Wearing a wife beater t-shirt. Just nothing. I can't believe it. I could never touch my toes. I could never lace my shoes. It took too long. I'd be in a bending position working on my shoe like for over a minute, and all the blood would rush to my head. I'd feel faint. It was just laces. They never changed them until Velcro came along. Then they had Velcro shoes, which are fantastic, but nobody socially allowed you to wear them. Hey, what's that on your feet? Is that Velcro instead of laces? You wuss. Wuss. What are you talking about? You're talking about a string that goes through shoes as opposed to something that just, like, you know, goes right on like that and stays fastened and nice and tight. What's your problem with Velcro? Sorry, Ron, you can't wear it. It's not socially acceptable. Laces, man. What is up with laces? Why do people wear laces on their shoes when within about an hour, your shoes are going to become unlaced, untied, and someone's always going to point to you and say, "Excuse me, Ron, you're going to trip on your laces." Well, then why do they have them? Why do they have them if they come untied? Ron, don't you know what a double knot is? Yes, it's something that I can't undo because I can't get down there to do it. What do you end up doing with laces? You end up pulling your shoe off anyway. You don't untie the laces. Well, then why do you have them? Because they're pretty looking? They're not pretty. String on your feet is not pretty. There's nothing pretty about a knot of string on your feet. Actually, what it is damn stupid. You people kill me. You really, really do. You and your little habits, your little ways. Unbelievable. And that's what I'm not wearing.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing, what are you wearing, what are you wearing today, today?
All right. Look, you clicked on this thing. But you know what you're going to do all day? You're going to walk around looking at your shoes. Like, what? Or who's right? These are stupid looking. Why am I walking around with string on my feet? Didn't they do that like a long time ago and we're still doing it now? What is with that? Yeah, I don't. I'm sorry. I'm not doing laces. It's just stupid. It's just women think that everybody looks at their feet 24/7.
I have to wear the red shoes with the red pants. And look, my fingernails are blue. Where are my blue shoes?
You think that people care? You're the only one that cares about it. Men never, ever, ever look at each other's shoes and say, hey, that's a nice pair of shoes you got there. Oh, nice shoes. Men never do that. They never say it to women. Hey, those are nice shoes. If you say to a woman, those are nice shoes, then your comments are questionable.
Why are you commenting on my shoes? My eyes are up here. Hello? I'd rather you stare at my breasts than at my shoes. That's freaky. That's a foot fetish, and that's freaky.
Foot fetish. Of all the fetishes you could have, a lot of men have a foot fetish. They love women's feet. And a lot of women like women's feet. And a lot of women like men's feet. And a lot of dogs like other dogs' paws. I've never been into feet. Feet are not pretty to me. They're utilitarian. They let you move around. They hold you up. They are not supposed to be pretty. They're actually quite disgusting looking. They're little appendages with things sticking out of them, and then toenails that are inevitably rotting off your feet. I don't find them attractive in the least, but then there are those that have a fetish about them. I want to lick them. I want to suck your toes off. Do you understand what's going on down there? Those toes have been sitting in shoes and things like that with laces, sweating and decapitating the capitation of the foot, the opposite of the capitation. I mean, those feet have been supporting people's weight all day on gravel, and you want to lick my toes? What do you? Although a foot massage, for some reason, is extremely comforting. I've been on my feet all day. Oh, that feels so good. A foot massage. Ah. Yeah, that's fine. I guess that feels good. But it's not fetish worthy, is it? All right, we've come to the point where this particular subject has been exhausted. I'm exhausted. My guest is going to join me after this. This is going to open your mind big time. You're going to enjoy it. But first, this little word about what you've done here.
You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. Did they just not offer you a second choice, or did you not have a lot of time to choose? Help me out here. I don't understand. What were you thinking?
Hello, Greg.
Hi, Ron. How you doing?
I'm great. Greg Salzer joins us now. He's a certified life coach, a seeker, and a traveler. I don't know if the seeker and traveler is spiritual or actually physical, but we'll find out. Probably both. Probably both. Right. Well, yeah, welcome to the program. What you've done here is very interesting. What we're doing is we're talking about a book that's been released that he has penned called 27 Questions to Make You Sweat. It's a workout guide for the soul. You don't get books like this very frequently. They're kind of interesting. It's a deeper look into yourself. And as a life coach and such, I understand where you're coming from. How did you decide to write a book like this, though, for the general public?
You know, that's a great question. And someone just asked me that, Ron. It started, I've been meditating for a long time, and I do these long retreats, and I've been at this long retreat. It's a 10 days of silence, and I had this idea for this dating book because I just got divorced and I started dating again. Uh-huh. And so I had all these questions because dating after you've been married, and I'm not a kid.
Yeah.
So I had all these crazy ideas and then I told my mom about it and she sent me an article like 2 weeks after I told her I was going to start working on this book of questions about dating. And she sent this article from the New York Times, some psychiatrist had sort of already written it. It was like 36 questions to, know who, if you can be with this person or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made me think, okay, I mean, I like the concept of questioning. And then I sort of turned it on to, I said, okay, forget the dating. How about just questions about what it means to be here? Because ever since I've been a kid, my dad was an analyst. And he was a very curious human being. He was also pretty nutty and crazy and lost his mind and all his money. But he was very curious. And when I was a younger man, I was extremely confrontational. Like, I really liked getting into things. And finally, I realized, you know what? Why don't I just put them down in a book where people can be confronted? And I don't have to be so confrontational with them. They can, be confronted on their own time.
Interesting. In my mind, there are two kinds of people roaming the earth. There are people that work all day, drink beer, and just talk about sports. And then there's the people who have a deep soul, who are always looking inward, looking for the meaning of how to be better, how to improve, why you're here. And they ask those deeper questions of themselves, and they even do it in conversation with others. I think there's a fine line between the two. And from what I get from your book is you're trying to say to those that may not have that deeper connection that there is one, go discover it.
Exactly. And I'd love you to say that, Ron, because I'm really trying to reach normal people. Very similar thing.
Yeah.
Because look, we've all heard it. I've been in that yoga spiritual community for a very long time, mm-hmm. and it's like it's preaching to the choir. I mean, when you preach to the choir, they go, yeah, that sounds amazing.
Exactly.
But I want to talk to the guys that are just watching football, drinking beer, that don't really talk to their girlfriends about much, because I do know that generally women do seem to care a little more about the deeper emotional things.
No question.
And I do know when a guy can connect to them emotionally, they're generally more into it. I mean, but as much as I say that, I'm also surrounded by a lot of very wealthy ladies where I live who are all married who dig the guy that can talk about the deep stuff, but they like the guy with the bread.
Yes. you can kind of have both sometimes, actually.
Agreed.
Yeah, and that's okay. But to lack the inner understanding is not right. Anyway, the book kind of just opens it up and says, well, how about this? How do you feel about this? And you're actually basically having a deeper conversation with somebody without being there, which is kind of interesting in a sense. What are some of the... Go on. No answer.
No, I was just going to say, because I think it helps the planet and it helps all of us grow.
Yes.
If we ask, I had just had an interview with this guy who's really fun. He's from Virginia. And he's like, but Greg, I must be shallow because I never ask these questions. Who cares? And I was like, who cares if you just think it's okay to let things go on as they have? I mean, when I think about things in the world that have changed, they've changed because people question them.
Yes.
And they go, I'm not so sure this is right. How else do we get to a new space of understanding unless we go deep?
Well, it's like love. You can't love somebody else until you love yourself. You can't open up a deep channel with somebody unless you've opened it up with yourself first. Yeah. Let's talk about... there's 27 questions. Who's counting? 27 questions. give me an example of some of these questions and how they may just open you up.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give one that I think is actually one of the hardest ones in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, are you an addict? And how long would you stay with someone that's an addict?
Oh.
I think that's a really hard question.
It is.
Because I know in my life, in my own personal life, between my father and two half-sisters, all hardcore addicts.
Yeah.
And then I just look around with my life. I know there's just there's addicts everywhere, and it's hard. And the harder question is, how long would you stay with someone who's an addict? Because, I mean, Ron, it's hard, man. I mean, it's when you have someone in your life that you care about, you know, it's just, and I'm not giving an answer per se, but I am saying look, like you said, if you can look at yourself first, that helps everyone.
You know, it's interesting. That's a tough question, and I'll tell you why I couldn't really answer that is, yes, you do care about the other person. It's good nature to hang in there and care for somebody else. But then you start to put yourself into jeopardy sometimes when that all that negativity and all that struggle starts to eat away at you to the point where you're not who you were or who you are. And that's a real tough question. Do you destroy yourself in the name of somebody else? I don't know. That's rough.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the reason I brought that up is because I do think that that is actually one of the most difficult things, because we all think if we're being a good person, oh, but I love her. I've got to stick in there with her. But the thing about addicts is that they are not changing until they decide. And actually, the crazy sort of irony and oxymoron is that generally, the shorter you deal with an addict, the less tolerance you have.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about being harsh and mean, but the less tolerance, the more you're making them fess up and look inside and have to decide what's more important, you know, my addiction or my relationships.
True. It's true. I used to do a lot of Reiki, and part of that was basically to take the negative energy out that's been fed to you by other negative people. You withdraw that, and you fill yourself with positive energy, and that's how you become the best you can be. But when something is draining your positive energy and feeding you negative continually, you have to stop, and you have to think about that.
Yeah, when it's someone that you care about and love deeply, I think the hardest is like a parent and a child. I mean, how do you say no to your kid? How do you slam the door?
Wow.
The truth is, I think it's actually helping them if you can do that.
Yeah. It sounds like Sophie's Choice here.
That's kind of weird.
All right, let's not go there. All right. Give me another example of something that would be searchable within one.
Okay, well, I guess another one that I love, just because I love talking about capitalism and economics, is the question, when is enough money enough?
There you go. That's a rough one.
It's a rough one because we live in a free market capitalist system that says, oh, you need to let people make as much, they need to be motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but you know what? I mean, at what point, when your toilet paper holder is gold plated, at what point does it get kind of ridiculous? You need 7 homes? Really? You need 2 jets? Okay, maybe 1 is enough. I mean, seriously, at what point do we go, okay, we live on a planet, we share it with everyone. I just think it's worth asking. As I say, in my dream world, I'm a big believer in capitalism because capitalism allows human beings to be who they are. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. We need that.
That's a goal.
But I also think we need human beings with a mind and a heart that are connected to say, okay, what's the number? Like after this number, can we say all the money is going to go to help the planet? And I think the number, I think I'm being very liberal. I think after $500 million, we can say you can make as much as you want, but we're going to take that money and we're going to educate people. We're going to house people. We're going to help people. I think $500 million is enough to live, don't you think?
I do too. You've almost described the difference between Bloomberg and Trump, but I'm not going to go there. No, that's a very good point. I mean, money gives us security. We're taught that, and it allows us to grow and not to stress. I get that, but at what point, you're absolutely right. At what point is this superficial and serves really very little purpose beyond that? It's our definition of goals, isn't it? Yeah.
Right. And I just want to say, I've been fortunate to be with, a few billionaires in my life. And when you're actually I've been on the inner circle of the billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
what they'll admit to you, if money's not money to them anymore. It's pure ego.
It would have
to be. It's pure.
Yeah.
This is how powerful I am. And, yeah. and I've always thought, really, dude, you have $1 billion and you're not giving your gardener a $10,000 friggin' tip for Christmas?
Exactly.
Like, why aren't you doing that? You're changing his life.
Yeah.
But instead, it's like, no, I got, it's like, you know, it just bums me out.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely true. Absolutely true. Well, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff in this book. It's 27 Questions to Make You Sweat, a workout guide for the soul. I like that connection. It's fascinating, and it's kind of important, really, in a sense, especially with the way our world is right now. You need to get your feet back on the ground and start wearing those shoes.
Yeah. I really appreciate that, because that's what I feel. I feel like the world we're in right now, we're slowly getting into this world where truth is becoming this malleable. Truth's not, it's not that malleable.
No kidding.
You know what I mean? Like, that's snow, this is the ground, that's an airplane. It's not an alternative fact. That's not a bathtub, it's an airplane. It's not an alternative fact.
Yeah. Well,
it gets weird.
Yeah.
The concept of alternative fact is surreal to me. How do you even say that?
Because it's a snake oil sales job. That's what it's in order to to make you feel and do certain things. It's
right.
And it sounds like from your upbringing that you don't want to be told what to do. You know what it is. You know, you reach a certain age in life.
Right.
I talk about this all the time. You reach a certain age in life, and you know what's going on. You know what you like. You know what you don't like.
You
should know who you are by a certain point.
Hopefully, we can keep growing, but you know, I mean, I do know it really what kind of hurt me and freaked me out about that whole, I'm not harping on this alternative fact thing, but the fact that the media didn't just go, there's no such thing as an alternative fact. It's called BS.
I know.
But instead everyone's like, well, that's an interesting way of seeing it. It's not interesting. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
You know what I mean? Like, I just like, how do you give that credence?
Yeah.
We need to be more honest and real. Let's just be real. I don't want to kill you. But I do want to call you out on BS.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important. You know what I mean? Like,
it is.
That to me is being, you know, that's being a real person. And we need more of that. We just need more people just saying, "Hey, man, this is what's really happening."
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say you can't shove the toothpaste back into the tube. I say, yeah, you can. You can with the proper funnel. You can. Okay.
Exactly. Now, look at that. Ron's talking some truth. I like it.
Yeah, right. All right. And this is what I'm talking about. See, I could talk to you for hours and hours because this is real.
It.
This is real conversation. This is about people. It's about your feelings. And I'm telling you, man, if you haven't done this or you don't do this, do it, because that's what it's all about. And you very quickly learn that. 27 questions to make you sweat. Greg Sulzer, is there a website we can visit?
Yes, you can visit. You can visit my website, which is gwscoaching.com, and you can also visit my Instagram page. It's just Greg Sulzer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to Amazon and find the book on Amazon.
Perfect. Hey, thank you so much for your time. It's been great, and hopefully we'll talk again.
Thank you so much, Ron.
All right, take care.
I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have it. Fascinating stuff. Interesting book. Okay, thank you so much for stopping by and picking up your mail and your dry cleaning. I'll be back again tomorrow, and we can do this again. I mean, not the same show. I'll talk about different stuff. I'll have different guests, and it's just going to be different. So make a little time for me. It's the least you can do. Okay? Is that okay with you? All right. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I do wish you peace.